Some historical moments remain in books. Others enter your house without warning. This happened for Arias' family in 1971, when Turkey was officially still a democracy, but the army took power. This is a story of one family, but also of a people who have lived between hope and denial for a century. To understand what happened to Arias' family, you have to go back to the beginning of the Turkish Republic. In 1920, the Treaty of Sevres promised that Kurds would have their own state. It was black on white, for the first time. But 3 years later, that promise was dropped. In a treaty of Lausanne, the Kurds disappeared from the text. Their language was banned, their region was given new names, and their identity became something you kept indoors. For millions of Kurds, identity became something double. Something you are, but couldn't always show openly. But that was not a history lesson for Arias' family. It was the world they grew up in. In March 1971, the Turkish army intervenes. No tanks on the street, but a memorandum. A silent coup. Left-wing groups were targeted, Kurds viewed with suspicion, and right there, at that crossroads of politics and dissent, is Arias' family. His grandfather, a left-wing Kurdish officer, is fired. Without explanation, without trial. Only with shame. Arias said, he never spoke about it, only about the benefits of military service. As if he wanted to push the real story away. Not much later, Arias' grandmother also loses her job. Again, without explanation. As if the family was pushed out of the system in one movement. The taboo starts here. Why them? The family never knew for sure. But being Kurdish and left-wing in a state that wanted order and clear enemies, that was a dangerous mix. The atmosphere Arias' father remembers is one of hostility, nationalism and prudence. When there is no more work in Istanbul, migration doesn't become a dream, but a necessity. In 1972, Arias' grandmother left for Germany through an employment agency. Her husband follows with the children, not because they wanted to flee, but because they had to survive. Their plan is simple: work, save and start over someday. The first years in Germany were warm, an entire floor of farm, friendly owners, football for Arias' father, and no homesickness, because returning is not an option. But migration leaves traces. According to Arias, his grandparents later responded with self-victimization, self-hatred and projection, as if their Kurdish identity was the cause of their problems. Over the years, their political beliefs shift, from left to Kemalites. Not out of conviction, but out of protection. Arias is 9 or 10 when his father takes him aside during a vacation. Talking about being Kurdish is taboo with strangers. If they ask, I will tell them. Otherwise, it's going to lead to unwanted trouble, he said. For Arias, this is when he understands that descent isn't only something you are, but also something you must protect. Today, Arias' father looks at his background with slight indifference. He recognizes Kurdish roots when someone asks, but feels no need to propagate them. He believes that Kurds and Turks can live together peacefully, without an independent Kurdish state, and that recognition of Kurdish history is possible, but not necessarily with reparations. Little remained for Arias himself, not a Kurdish language, no rituals, no stories that were never told. He said, you cannot miss what you don't know. According to Arias, political events show not only how countries change, but also how families are formed for generations. That Kurdish history consists not only of treaties and conflicts, but also of silence and prudence. And that the disappearance of an identity sometimes starts with one moment and then continues to live on in a silence between parents and children.